Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Intimacy is a tapestry of love. It actually connects people on many different levels, and I believe that it brings life to the beauty of love and how it's expressed. The word intimacy, so often we think of it as just being tied to that connection that we have when we're sharing the sexual pleasure with each other. But really, if you look below or above the surface of intimacy, what you really find is the word really embodies all of our being. It embodies us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and also from a soul level, body, mind, and soul. It really is the entire tapestry of who we are, and it brings to expression all those different facets of who we are to be able to create this magnificent connection that we have with people. Intimacy is really not so much even tied to a relationship that we have with someone else. It could be tied to a friend. I have a very, very good friend that we call ourselves part of the Yaya Sisterhood. And that intimacy is also tied to that deep sharing that we're being able to do, that we share a part of ourselves that maybe we don't to someone else. And, you know, even with my husband, Bruce, it's the same thing with her. I can share things that I just wouldn't share with Bruce. So really, when you look at intimacy, what it is intimacy is that tangible expression of a deep caring or a deep love that you have for someone. And without that form of expression, it's going to be difficult to measure the depth or the connection or the quality of the relationship. So when you look at intimacy, I always liken it to a tree. It only thrives under certain conditions. It needs to be sheltered from harsh elements, especially when it's young, and that's when we start our relationships. And another thing I want to add then is we always think of intimacy when we're in those initial stages of putting a relationship together, but relationships are always going through cycles, just like everything in life. It starts out where it's very fresh, it's very new, it's very creative. Then it goes into that growth stage where it's still very exciting and there's a deep connection. It goes into that maturity or maturation stage to where it actually becomes comfortable, almost like a pair of old slippers that we have, or maybe an old sweatshirt, where there's a connection where we just don't have that sense of worry. And then it goes back, it goes into the decay and the decline. And that doesn't mean that the relationship has to end. It's just a cycle. And that's the way it is with a tree. There's a cycle. So when you have to shelter it when it's young, and then also it needs to be carefully nourished. And what that means is that we have to be willing and feeling safe enough to express our deepest intimate needs and to be able to share those needs and to share our desires and our dreams with the people who are in our life that we care about. Once it's nourished properly and it gets the care and attention, then the roots of it are going to grow very deep, making it strong yet flexible, and even being able to withstand the stormiest of times. I was doing a reading on a woman the other day, and I was talking to her about the connection that she had with this person in her life and how that connection seemed to go even beyond this lifetime. And she said it was very interesting because the relationship had been very tumultuous, a lot of ups and downs with it, and she had tried so many times to break it off, and the person on the other end had tried so much. But there was something, she said, there's just something that's so much deeper inside that really keeps us connected at a level that she couldn't even explain. I really believe that intimacy is the miracle of love because it really does help us in the emotional healing that we have that happens when we're in our childhood years where we're most impressionable from an emotional standpoint. Also, intimacy really comes in, and heals the past relationships that we have. It really transforms the limited perceptions we have of ourselves, maybe those feelings of inadequacy or that we're, you know, not good enough or not worthy of being loved. But the most important thing that intimacy does is it connects us to both our human heart, to where we're able to share love with other people and to be able to receive it. But the other part of intimacy is it connects us with our soul. And that is the deep taproot of what intimacy really is all about, is when it connects us with our soul, not only do we learn how to love ourselves, but in doing so, we're able to express through intimacy how we'll be able to share with other people, what do we need to be able to keep that connection alive? So when you think of it and that connection and everything, I always think of intimacy as kind of that magician that's constantly in the process of pulling things from its hat to be able to keep us engaged with people. In many cases, it's the healer when we come in and we look at our body or we look at our relationship with others. And it's really what turns an ordinary love into an extraordinary love. Well, what a way to start the show. Thanks for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to sharing this information with you. The topic of today's show is intimacy, what's personality got to do with it? And in this hour, I'm going to be sharing not only how your personality influences your expression of intimacy, but it also determines what you need from your partner or from your friends in order for those intimacy needs to be met, and then also to be able to create that strong intimate bond that really the outcome of it is, and the real benefit is, that you can build relationships that are mutually satisfying and mutually beneficial. After all, that's what a relationship is meant to be, whether it's with a spouse or a partner, or it's a business associate, or it's with a friend, or it's with a child, is to be able to come in and to be able to keep that bond alive and to keep it alive to a place where it's mutually satisfying. So even in those stormiest of times, we still have a connection that's so deep that no matter what happens, that connection's going to remain intact and remain healthy. I'm going to be sharing more about the personality colors. In fact, everything that I'm doing from the show today is actually part of my book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It? I just love saying it that way. I don't know what it is. It just seems kind of like a fun thing to do. It adds a lot of humor to love. So many times love gets really serious. So it's from the book Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It? And that book is really what I call a personality primer to be able to help you go in. And first of all, it starts with understanding you. And then once you understand you, it's easier to accept who you are, learn more about what your needs are. And then it's easier to make those deep connections with other people. So that book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, you can actually purchase it through hayhouse.com or amazon.com. In addition to talking about intimacy, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you would like to ask me a question about your relationship or about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. Or you can call me at 425-644-5600. Both of those numbers are good for out of country. And, you know, if you're in the United States, the first number, 877-230-3062, is very good for the United States and Canada. And then the 425-644-5620 is a call number that you can use internationally. So if I have any international callers out there, please dial in your international calling code and then the 425 number. So the nature of love, let's go in and kind of think about that. Many times as females, we're certainly conditioned that the nature of love is to always put other people's needs before our own. And there's a lot of parameters and guidelines and boundaries and expectations and should not around love. But really the nature of love is the expression of tenderness. It's that emotional sensitivity that someone can share with us and we can share with someone else. It's acceptance, both of ourself and the other person. It's charged with compassion, and compassion is the most healing word other than hope. There's actually two of them in the universe energetically that we can go in and actually look at. But the nature of love is compassion. And compassion doesn't mean that you have to feel sorry for someone. Compassion means creating a sacred space where both of you can meet and share intimately and share what's going on. Also, the nature of love is forgiveness, very important. It encompasses a variety of behaviors, attitudes, but there's an inner knowing about someone when you meet them. Sometimes it's a kindredness. Sometimes it's like you've known them forever. It may be that, you know, in this lifetime, but what there is there's that deep level of commitment. And then intimacy is the really the thread that keeps that, commitment together. It's about expanding our senses of self, and then also the connection with those we love has to be part of the growth process. It means that the connection that we have with someone from an intimacy standpoint, we have to feel safe enough with them that we can open up and we can allow people to see those vulnerabilities, who we are. Now, I can say that very comfortably to all of you as listeners, but when I go in the second segment, I'm going to be talking about how each personality color looks at intimacy. And I am a yellow personality, and I can tell you that even though I said that, and I know in my heart that to be true, and I work toward that, there's an element of the yellow personality that does not open themselves up, no matter how deeply they're committed to someone. They don't open themselves up to the point where they expose their vulnerabilities. That's important for the other colors to know, especially if you have a yellow in your life or you live with a yellow, because you'll always feel that maybe they're holding something back. In reality, they are, but it isn't that you've done something wrong. It's just the very nature of the yellow personality. What I found, and when I've been doing my personality relationship workshops, that there's really four different forms of intimacy as far as being expressed. The first part of the expression of intimacy is the physical intimacy, and this is the easiest one for us to relate to because it's experienced through our five physical senses and through the sensations of the body. Physical intimacy is most often attached to and expressed in the moments when we're making love. Emotional intimacy. This intimacy brings a voice to our deepest needs and our desires. Also, it brings a voice to our vulnerabilities and our deepest of fears. It connects us to the ones, the people in our life from a heart-to-heart standpoint. It sends the message that we trust them with our heart. We trust them with our dreams, our desires, but most important, we trust them with our love. Mental intimacy, something that is very important to the yellow personality, all personalities, but especially the yellow. This form of intimacy is more of an unspoken intimacy, and it requires a heightened sensitivity to how our partner thinks and how they react to any given situation. This kind of intimacy implies that we're on the same wavelength with someone to the point that we can really almost finish their sentences and tune into their thoughts. Now, the reality of it is that we can never really go in and read somebody's mind. But in mental intimacy, we know them so well and their reactions that we really do it. It looks like we can. We can go in and finish their sentences. The intimacy that is so important, that often truly is overlooked when we look at the other different expressions, and that spiritual intimacy. This intimacy really doesn't have anything to do with sharing ourselves physically, but it is a part of it, or emotionally, but it is a part of it. Mentally, it is a part of it. When I talk about the spiritual aspect, I'm not talking about religious beliefs or even spiritual beliefs, but this is the intimacy that we can have. It can be with friends, it can be with someone we love, and that's when our hearts come together at a level that it's soul to soul. It feels like it creates this sacred union. And spiritual intimacy is where the needs of the individual really overrides, is being overridden by the needs of the whole. I liken spiritual intimacy to when we go and we move beyond the me, you know, that human ego part of it, that me part of it. We move beyond that and we go to the we part of it. And what I mean by that is our human ego and our needs are set aside not to be able to enable others, but because our desire is to be a part of the relationship that we have with people. Totally from a spiritual connection, spiritual intimacy is when we really touch that unconditionality that we have and that we're capable of experiencing around love. It's that common ground where we meet people and all of the things that we have on the surface shed, and then all we see is we see them as that divine, magnificent soul. So four different levels of intimacy, and each personality color has a mapping that they will use as far as determining whether someone is even a person they want to get involved in a relationship with. And they will do it not so much about what they do for a living or money. Really, if we look beyond the surface of that, what they do is they really go in and they look at, can this person meet my intimacy needs and can I meet theirs? And again, each one of us as personality colors has a mapping, what is most important to least important. And in the second half of the show, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about each color. And I'm also going to be sharing that mapping process because again, very, very important. What I have found in my counseling as far as couples that most of the time that we have the issues, with our spouse comes from the deep intimacy needs not being met, and it can surface as far as money and everything else. So I think it's very important that if you know your personality color, then you can go in and you can know what your intimacy needs are from the mapping. If you don't know your color, I invite you to go to my website at www.ritberger.com. There's a mini assessment on there that, voila, you can get a touch of what your personality color is. And then also all of my books on personality have personality assessments in there where you can actually discover your color. And really the accuracy of it is running over 95%. So it's very, very comfortable once you take that one. You know who you are from a color standpoint. So it should be continue to be an interesting show. I'm looking forward to taking calls. So let me go ahead and start with Erin on line three. Hi, Erin.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Erin. Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty darn good.
Well, good for you. So you are back, huh, honey?
Yeah. It's been a lesson in patience, but it's a wonderful lesson.
Well, I'm glad to connect with you. How can I help you?
Well, I've been having difficulty sitting down for any length of time for quite a while now. Plus, I seem to have to use enzymes all the time also.
Okay, so let's see. Wow, you've got three things going on, hon. Have you been having difficulty trying to figure out what this is?
It seems to be complex, correct?
It is. It really is. There's three different facets of what's going on. The enzymes themselves, I can tie those to the nerves themselves. I can tie them, first thing I go in, and when I go into the lower extremities, starting down at the lumbar part of the spine, specifically at the sciatic nerve, I've got some inflammation in the nerves. I've got some inflammation in that sciatic nerve, and I've got some inflammation in the small peripheral nerves that basically are responsible for sending the messages down for toes to be able to move, the bottom to feel comfortable. So while we have that major sciatic nerve, then we have a whole bunch of other little nerves that kind of fill in the blanks where that sciatic nerve doesn't. The sciatic nerve basically goes from the lumbar down like one major nerve trunk down each leg. It breaks there at the lumbar part, and then it goes down into the toes, into the heel. It's one. At the heel, it branches off to two like a fork. The sciatic nerve goes to the small toe and then also the large toe. So I've got some inflammation there. And then when I touched the inflammation, then I went back to the enzymes. Talk to me about the enzymes that you're taking.
Well, what I noticed a number of years ago is after I would eat, after about 10 to 20 minutes, my body started shaking. And I took it for that the digestion was not working very clearly. You know, could have been the gallbladder or the liver. So I got some enzymes, and it seemed to alleviate the problem. But then I had to get better and more expensive enzymes. And now, as long as I have protein each day, it's not so bad. But if I have anything other than, like, basic protein from meat, such as cheese or any oils, which, you know, speaks of gallbladder, really gets out of hand, I've noticed that the enzymes also help alleviate the headaches that I used to get.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So let's see. So we've got the dynamics of the inflammation. The enzymes themselves are helping on different levels. So now when I touch you, Erin, it's like I touch you, honey, and as a whole, you're a clenched fist. And when I touch the nerves or the restlessness and I touch the inflammation, the nerves, it's like that fist opens up and I have all these little fingers, and all those little fingers have dynamics that are going on. And then when I touch the enzymes, it's like I touch the enzymes for the the digestion issues that you're talking about. But the minute I touch those, then I have all these little fingers. The enzymes are helping you from the standpoint of gallbladder. And part of the thing is I can go back probably in the last 5 years, this has been coming up, is that your body is not assimilating animal fat or certain fats, trans fats, anything that's hydrogenated. Your gallbladder isn't wanting to work with. It hasn't for 5 years, and it seems to be getting to the point where it doesn't take much, as you said, that if you eat something, then it can cause this, it feels like an attack. Now, the attack that I pick up with that is with the enzymes that you're taking, they're really helping stabilize the pH of your body. That's another finger. When the pH of the body is stabilized, then the pH of the cerebral spinal fluid becomes also stabilized. Now I find that the nerves that you in the brain are sending the messages they need to, and they're getting to the body where they need to, because now we've got this pH balance that's going on. So that's one finger. Then when I go in and I touch the enzymes and go into the small intestine, then what I find is I find that you have a predisposition for candida. When I touch that candida, it goes systemic. And that systemic activity of the candida triggers the inflammation that causes the headaches and the restlessness in your nerves. So it's no wonder, truthfully, that you can't seem to put your finger on it, because again, it has so many dynamics. I'm going to share the third part of this, and then I'll go back and let's see if we can connect the dots and simplify this. The other thing is that when I go in to the central nervous system itself, and I go in and I get the inflammation, it could be the candida that has basically become systemic, that is affecting the nerves, not only in the brain, the central, the cerebral spinal fluid. But I go in and right at the top of your spine, cervical spine, vertebrae 1, it's called the atlas. In that, I've got some old injury there, honey.
Absolutely. I've had 3 major injuries to the head and 1 of the tailbone, so.
And so what I have is I've got the brain creating all these messages, the cerebellum that's just above the brainstem itself, it kind of like forms that second little brain with the brainstem. That's your motor skills. That's where your activities, your movements, your ability to sit, your ability to have, a walking gait and a specific one, all of that's in the cerebellum. Then I get the messages there. It drops down into the ganglion called the medulla. Brainstem, and yeah. I get short circuiting there, sweetie.
Yeah, I fell right on the medulla 5 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, there's the 5 years thing. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, so having said all that, let's start narrowing it down. Absolutely important for you, imperative. I'm going to use that word, imperative for you to be sure that your body gets the protein it needs. And there's many reasons for that. So you're going to want to explore with the ways that you're able to ingest, assimilate, and digest protein. From doing it from an animal fat, the meat that's needed, absolutely. I can't tell you to stop meat, but again, you're going to have to do your enzymes in order to keep your gallbladder to be able to work with the fat that is associated with that meat. The leaner the meat, the better it is. The leaner the red meat, the better it is. I don't know if you can eat lamb, but lamb also seems to have less fat. It seems to have more digestive enzymes in it, so that's something you can do. So the enzymes are helping your gallbladder. It's helping the candida. And it's also helping quell the inflammation that is causing the nerves themselves to become irritated. The protein gives the brain what it needs, so the signals that you create in the brain are really strong. I mean, your brain has no doubt in its mind that you're going to move that left little pinky toe. And you're going to do it with a comfortableness that it's going to be like a major, strength of message being sent down. When it hits that injured vertebrae, then the message starts to become diluted. When it does, then it's difficult for it to go down and go through all those different plexus or the vertebrae and all the little peripheral nerves. And by the time it gets to the lumbar and the sciatic nerve, it would be like having your cell phone on high. And then by the time it gets to your lumbar spine, your sciatic nerve, then it would be something that you would be getting on a low frequency. That's where your restlessness is. I have I have a friend. I've had her on the show. Her name is Susan Smith Jones, Dr. Susan Smith Jones. She is a wonderful natural healer. She learned it from her grandmother. She does a lot of work with working with nutrition to be able to take care of these things. You can go to her website, SusanSmithJones.com, or you can go to HayHouse.com. You might want to go in, email Susan, and then ask her if there's anything that she could help you with. I have a teleclass tomorrow night, August 27th, for MS. And you don't have MS, sweetie, but what she has is if you're inclined to want to know what she does for inflammation from the nerves, because that's what MS really is, the demyelination, which is what MS does, that's not what you have, then you might want to go in and buy that PDF, or what you might want to do is contact Susan and see if there's something that she can help you with. My sense is she's going to help you with enzymes. She can help you with protein. If you can't get in touch with her, find someone, not a nutritionist, but someone who is a naturopath that also works with nutrition, works with enzymes, and then also probably some Ayurvedic healing, someone that works with it. Your gut is too hot. It's pitta. And what you need to do is you need to cool the gut down. What that does is it cools the inflammation in the body. So I think all of those can help you. But when you're doing it, Erin, just know, sweetie, you're working with three different dynamics.
Uh-huh.
And when you work with one dynamic, it will impact the other, the others. And so that doesn't make any difference. But I almost want to say to you, just go to the dynamic that's creating the most problem for you or problematic, and then work on that one and let the other ones take care of it. And it won't be always the same thing, sweetie, until we can get you to the point where we can get this inflammation quelled in your body to where it won't cause the nerves to become irritated and the messages and the restlessness and so forth.
Okay, beautiful.
So, and now, oh, you are so welcome. Lots of information. This is typical of who I am. So if you want also, Erin, and all of you as listeners, very short time. I think we're about 24 hours. It'll be available. You can go to my website, go to library up at the top of the tabs, click on archives. Erin, you can listen to the show again, hon, and you can, you know, put it on your iPod or whatever, and you can write down all the things because I really did a very quick unload for you.
Okay.
Thanks very much, and thanks for calling me back. I really, really appreciate that.
I appreciate it, too, so much.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, so I'm going to be right back. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to talk more about intimacy, personality, and the intimacy needs of each color and their mapping. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Thanks for joining me and welcome back. Today I am talking about intimacy and personality. I'm going to be going in and actually looking at the four different personality colors. If you don't know your color, I'll invite you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. There's a mini assessment on there. And then also all of my books have personality assessments in them that are about personality. There's actually four colors, red, orange, yellow, green. I'm asked all the time, why do I use color? Well, I think it's a lot easier to be able to say to someone, wow, you're really being red today, instead of saying to them, you're a control freak. Now, if they're red, you just said something that is a compliment. But if it's not your personality color being red, then you feel like that you've done a disservice to the person or it'll make you feel bad. If you haven't read my book, What Color is Your Personality? It's just been re-released. It's a beautiful little soft cover book now. It's four color on the cover and all the way through it. It's just a beautiful little book to be able to have for yourself to set on a coffee table or to give it to a friend for a gift so they can discover their personality color. Just been released. It's a great little book. And again, a personality assessment in it. The book can be purchased through hayhouse.com and amazon.com. Also, as always, and I did in the first segment, I'm taking your calls. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. Okay, so I said there's four different personality colors, red, orange, yellow, green. Each one of these colors has a very definitive pattern around what intimacy is, and they actually have a mapping process. I talked about in the first segment that we have physical intimacy, we have emotional intimacy, mental intimacy, and spiritual intimacy. When it comes to intimacy for the red personality, it really is primarily just physical. That's the personality type itself. They're very, very physical people. Because they are physical, they rely on intimacy to be expressed through their five physical senses, sight, hear, touch, taste, and smell. And that's how they relate to the world. And they see intimacy primarily as adding to the pleasure of sex or making love, depending on how you want to call it. It just depends on personality. If they were to rank intimacy from the standpoint as far as their needs, from most important to least important. Most important for the red would be physical intimacy. This would win hands down. Then it would be emotional intimacy that would rank at the last. So here's the way it goes. It goes physical, mental, spiritual, and then emotional is at the very bottom. So if you are with a red personality and you have intimacy needs that don't go in that order, you can see right away that we've got a little bit of a communication issue right there. The orange personality sees intimacy as being emotional in nature, and they feel that the intimacy, the intimate sharing of emotional, you know, fears and what's going on and kind of putting that themselves out there in that emotional vulnerability is really important to their relationship. For the orange, it's opening themselves up and the other person sharing their fears, their vulnerabilities, their insecurities. And when they're with someone who isn't willing to do that, for example, the red, we have an issue right there. It's difficult for both people to be able to get their needs met. So if I were to go in from the orange standpoint in the mapping, it would be emotional would be the most important. Physical would be the second important. Then it would go in and it would be mental. They want to be on the same wavelength. And then it would be that spiritual intimacy. And the reason that spiritual intimacy, because I could feel a lot of oranges out there going, what? But the reason that the spiritual intimacy is the least expressed is because from the orange's perspective, if you share with you share yourself emotionally, you're sharing yourself spiritually. So from their standpoint, emotional intimacy and spiritual intimacy are one and the same. The orange really doesn't want to know what's going on in your head. They just want to know what's going on in your heart. If I were to ask a yellow, as I shared in the first segment also about being a yellow personality, what I would see is intimacy is that I would be able to commit to someone. I would want to share time with them. And if I say as a yellow that I'm going to be in your life and in your life forever, you can take that to the bank. I'm going to. Even if things got really bad, as a yellow personality, we have a lot more tolerance, so we put up with a lot more idiosyncrasies. But from our standpoint, the most important part of a intimacy expression is mental. That is the most important part. We want to be able to know what our partner or our best friends are thinking. We want to be able to be on that same wavelength. We want to know how are they going to react or respond to situations. So if I went in and I actually mapped in the yellow, mental is number one, spiritual is number two, physical is number three, and emotional is, again, the last one. I find that in my counseling with couples that the orange and the yellow dynamics between two people together is the most difficult. If it's an orange male with a yellow female, it can work. But if it's a yellow male with an orange female, it is very, very difficult for that orange to not always be at a state where her emotional needs or his aren't being met. The green personality ranks spiritual intimacy as being most important. In fact, they see intimacy as the union of the heart, the body, the mind, the soul, everything. It's like taking one person and merging them together in the sacred union, and voila, now we have a one-person situation. There's no separation in the green's mind between two people in a relationship. It's just a relationship. So when they go into the intimacy, they really go into the romance of intimacy. They really want to be that romantic part and to be able to feel that part of it. From the standpoint of the green, the most important part of intimacy, as I said, is that spiritual part. And then if I were to map it for the green, it would be spiritual intimacy, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, and then mental intimacy. For the green, getting on the same wavelength as someone isn't important. They just want that body, mind, and soul to be able to form union. So again, important for you if you know your personality color, and even if you don't, to go in and really spend a little bit of time to see what is important to you from intimacy needs. How do you need those it needs to be expressed? How are you going to express them? How is somebody else going to give you what you need? Now, that I always find is a difficult thing, because for some reason there's so much vulnerability around intimacy. You know, people can't read our minds. I've said that a couple times in the show. So it is important for us, if we know what we need, to be able to have that deep taproot connection with someone else. It's our responsibility to share that. If that leaves us vulnerable, it does. Again, you have to look at your personality as to how comfortable you are with that person, how much you can trust them, and then how open you can be. My husband Bruce is a yellow. I am a yellow. We are both very committed to each other, have been for 26 years. But I will tell you, even after all those years, both of us, in all the things we've done in our life together, there's a part of us that I hold back, and there's a part that he holds back. As a yellow, I understand that. As a yellow, he understands that. And it can work for us. There are times that, you know, we flip into other colors just because of tension or whatever else. And then it isn't that our emotional needs or our intimacy needs change, but our reactions to situations do. So very important. If you know your color and you don't know the color of your spouse, I'll tell you the best book, or your partner, the best book to be able to open the process up is my little book, What Colors Your Personality. It doesn't go into a lot of the woo-woo stuff. It's very, very grounded, and it's just a good way for personalities to look at each other. And then follow it up with a love book. It's just a great way for us to be able to learn more about who we are. And that truly, truly is the most important. If we don't know our intimacy needs, how can we possibly expect or have someone else meet those needs, and especially if we don't express them? All right, so let's go into Kate from Seattle. Hi, Kate.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, hon. How can I help you?
Well, I have a quick question. I've had chronic pain in certain parts of my body since March. How do I know if it's diseased pain or emotional pain?
It's both, sweetie. You can't separate the two.
Okay.
And so, having said that, you have an opportunity, Kate, to go in and, sweetie, figure out which one you want to start the focus on. If you wanted to do emotional pain, you could certainly do that. I'm going to tell you where I'm picking it up, the emotions, to give you a picture of it. Again, not to be a know-it-all, go in, be sure that it's the, you know, feels right to you. Or you can go in and start the physical pain part. And if you do that, then maybe your mind will stop fixating on that emotional, on what's happening. And then it'll give you the space that you need in order to do the emotional work. So I'm going to go in, and let's, first of all, I think the best thing is I'll approach it from a physical standpoint. What you have going on in your body, have you seen a doctor? Have you talked to a doctor at all?
I have, and I've done done blood work.
Okay, very good. Did they talk to you at all about fibromyalgia?
No.
Okay, and that doesn't surprise me, so let me tell you why. In fibromyalgia, a doctor would go in and would look at 13 different points in the body. They're like little trigger points, and if you hit 11 of the 13, you'd be diagnosed fibromyalgia. If you have 5 of the 13, then you would not. You do not have fibromyalgia, but I will tell you, sweetie, that you do have the tendency of fibromyalgia. And what that means is the fascia in the muscles themselves becomes hard. When it becomes hard, then you don't have the flexibility of the muscles, and then it starts to pull on the joints.
Mm-hmm.
When it pulls on the joints, then you don't have the flexibility or the range of motion in the joints itself. Okay. Did the doctor check you for RA, rheumatoid arthritis, or anything with autoimmune disorders?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay. So what you have going on is it's tied to your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Something in you, something that is happening in the body is irritated. That irritation is causing the immune system to become weak. That causes the body to become tired. It causes the body to not want to have the movement. And then we get the symptomology of fibromyalgia. When I went in, and the reason I'd ask about rheumatoid arthritis and autoimmune, when I go into your right knee and I go into both of your elbows and I go into your left shoulder, it feels like I actually can come in and I can find fascia in those areas that are really, it gets hard. That's a lot of the pain, but it's not so much that it's in those areas, but what it is I go into that right part of the body and the left part of the body, the muscles are at odds with each other. They're pulling against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's hard for you.
I have a lot of muscle pain.
Yeah. And it gets you caught up to where, again, you feel like you're out of sorts, out of your body. You don't have the movement. You don't have the different, the comfort in the body that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some things for you to go in and to research and look at the symptomology and then look at what is suggested to be done for that symptomology. That's all I'm asking you to do.
Okay.
So I want you to go in. I want you to look at the symptomology of fibromyalgia.
Okay.
I want you to also go in and I want you to look at the symptomology of chronic fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing from a physical standpoint for you to be able to help your body become pain-free is to work with supporting your immune system and getting it back to the point where your body is alkaline versus acidic.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that you're, now the emotion just came in, some of the emotions that you're carrying, oh, I'm going to take a deep breath for you, sweetie. When I touched them, my God, your bucket's flowing over, my love. Wow, your last 3 years have been very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
So let me take a deep breath for you. So when I go into the immune system, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to take a deep breath when you get some time. I want you to go in, and I want you to practice some self-forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you're going to forget what's happened to you, sweetie, but I want you to go in. And you know what? In a couple of the situations, specifically with one person, it isn't that you were at the wrong place at the wrong time, but honey, the sacred agreement that you have with this person is that it was constantly they were showing your shadow. I don't think you could have ever done anything right, hon.
Yeah, well, I got that one figured out.
Yeah, but you know, when I...
But the residue is there.
Yeah, but when I say that to you, you know, let it go. Easy to say, let it go. Mm-hmm. Sweetie, so here's the emotion. The emotion around that is stop resenting yourself. The emotion is resentment. When you go in and you resent yourself that you should have known, you should have done it different, you should have done it better, and you start getting irritated with yourself because, you know, you pride yourself on your intelligence, you are very highly intuitive, you should have seen this coming, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line of it is, honey, you didn't. You weren't working with someone that spoke the truth. You weren't working with someone that was consistent. Honey, it was like being in Iraq. You didn't know whether you're going to be on a street that was going to be free of landmines or you're going to step on one with this person.
That's
so the thing is, so what it is go in and say, okay, you know what? I know I was a part of the dynamics. I know that I had stuff to learn, but you know what? I've got to get rid of being irritated with myself. When you do that irritation, you get rid of resentment. Then what you're going to do is then your body emotionally is going to release that. That will support your immune system by adding love, self-love. And then you know what? Stop believing you betrayed yourself. You did not. So what you do, show yourself some compassion, show yourself some tolerance and patience. I mean, even the person that I'm talking about, I can still feel in your life, sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying so hard to, you know, kind of mend those wounds. Let's do some with you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in. Left shoulder. Yes, you were part of the dynamics of this entire scenario and play and drama and everything that took place. But you, it was not your stuff. It was the other person's stuff. Get that off of your left shoulder.
Yeah.
Flick it off. Give it away. Put it in a bag. Send it out to the universe, you know, with love, whatever you need to do. Because in that shoulder, I've got disappointment. But don't be disappointed at yourself. So now I'm going to go to the other parts of the body. When I go into that kind of that cross pattern between that right knee and that left shoulder, in the center of that bullseye is all self-betrayal. You didn't betray yourself, sweetie. It was part of a dynamics contract.
Okay.
Go in, no self-directed anger. You know, come in, been there, done that, bummer, whatever you can do, fake it till you make it, say that, come up with affirmations, whatever you can do. When you let go of that resentment, you let go of that angst, as I call it, that you have in there, then your chemistry is going to change, then your immune system is going to start to balance, and then I will get rid of the tension. So in the left shoulder, I've got self-disappointment. In the right knee, I've got guilt. And the thing is that the reason I share that is that I know you don't feel guilty about it. I really do. I can feel that in you.
Mm-hmm.
But when I touch that right knee, I can pick up energetically everything in your life you felt guilty about. this person just pushed old buttons, honey. I mean, it's like brought you to your knees.
Yeah, it really did.
And the metaphor of that is that that is self-abandonment. The knees in my world are self-abandonment. The right knee is guilt. You know what? Gosh, we all have guilt. My gosh, we've just been gifted with that. The thing is, you're going in, you're doing deep emotional work. You're doing deep spiritual work. You're connecting with yourself. You're connecting with your soul. Honey, you're doing a marvelous job. We just need to flick disappointment off. We need to get rid of that self-directed resentment. We need to get rid of that anger that you have toward yourself. You know, it was just a role. It was just a part. It was just a part of the play. That's going to help you. That will help your immune system.
Okay.
One of the things I encourage you to do is I want you to, do you do acupuncture?
I see an acupuncturist. I see a physical therapist. And I'm also seeing an alternative health practitioner.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to approach it from a lot of different levels because it's difficult.
Because it's, you know, you're working with the physical and then you're working with the emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, the practitioners, is your physical therapist doing hydrotherapy? Are you doing water work at all?
No, not at all.
If you are open to that, Edgar Cayce was just a real advocate for hydrotherapy. And what it does is it allows you to have movement without it having all the stress on the joints themselves. And the warmth of the water actually liquefies the fascia. It returns it back to that liquid state. That will give you some movement. That would, my sense, help you tremendously from
like
the physical.
Water aerobics?
Like water. Actually, you know what? It's not even aerobics. It would just be, and ultimately you could, but it's just like getting in the water and just, you know, hanging onto the edge and just kicking your feet and standing and just moving your arm. Just get some flexibility and some range of motion. So ask your physical therapist about that.
Okay, great.
From the standpoint of your acupuncturist, so what I'd like your acupuncturist to do is I would like, and very skilled, so this isn't that this person isn't skilled, I would like the acupuncturist to look at supplements that would be of value to do adrenal support and immune support.
Okay.
I would like for you to present to the acupuncturist for this person to check their own intuition and I would like you to have needles done in the temple area, the sixth chakra, in the third chakra, in the left shoulder, but specifically in the right knee, the right ankle.
Okay.
And see if that can, what it can do is by putting it in the shoulder, and then I also pick up in some of the, I wanted to say solar plex, and all of a sudden the acupuncturist came in and said, no, Carol, that's too hot. So let's bypass it. So let's do left shoulder, right knee, and I think we can get the chi back where it needs to. If we do it in the temple area, that will stimulate your intuition. It'll give you a different picture.
Okay.
From the naturopathic, the alternative person that you're working with, what you will want to do is ask them specifically about anything you can do to increase the alkalinity of your body.
Okay. I've changed my diet up quite a bit. I'm 50%
yes, you have.
Raw. She's got me off sugar, wheat, white rice.
Good.
She's got me on probiotic supplements, coconut oil, oil.
How long have you been on coconut oil?
About 3 months.
Oh, you're going to find that's going to help you tremendously.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it will help you tremendously. So go in and ask her also if she could go in and let's work some more with the alkaline in the body, and that will take out some of the other things that I'm picking up in the body around acidity. When you had your blood work done, your liver enzymes, they were slightly off, weren't they?
I don't know. You know, when I go into my acupuncturist and my massage therapist, they talk about the liver. That
yeah.
seems to be the most popular organ to talk about with me.
Well, in my world as a medical intuitive, that organ, I call it live or die.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that we don't really literally have to die over it, but it really is the part of the purging process. In the liver itself, there are four quadrants. The outer part of the liver, right at the right side of the body, the upper quadrant is anger. The lower quadrant is guilt.
Mm-hmm.
If I move inside towards your belly button in that particular point, what we have in the upper part is we have resentment. In the lower part, we have shame. If you carry any of those emotions emotionally in your body or carry them in your thought processes, the liver will, in fact, be a hot spot, and that's what they're talking about. But the reason I ask is I go in the liver itself. Part of the liver enzymes, while they were in the normal range, were elevated slightly.
Hmm.
That doesn't mean anything to be concerned about. I'm not picking up Hep C. I'm not picking up hepatitis B. But what I am picking up is the liver itself needs to have some cleansing. So if you would ask your alternative practitioner about working with some liver cleanses that are alkaline and base instead of acidic, that would be helpful.
Okay. She's also got me using a light pen.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Oh, yeah. She's good. She's good.
So, have you heard of that before?
I have.
The laser light pen treatment? Okay.
I have. And what it does is it isn't so much the laser itself. It's the vibration of the light and how it can be finely focused. And it is the vibration that basically it attunes itself with the vibration of the chakra in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it doesn't go in and try to knock anything out or, you know, kill it or do anything else. It just brings a vibrational harmony to the chakra in the area where there's a disharmony. And that's the value of that.
Okay.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Kate. I wish you well, sweetie. You're doing a marvelous job. We need to, just kind of pack that disappointment in a pretty bag and send it off to the universe.
I will do my best. Thank you.
You have done your best. My pleasure. My pleasure. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Gosh, it's been an interesting show and the calls. I hope all of you have found it of value. If you're interested in attending my teleclass tomorrow night, your health teleclass, the topic is multiple sclerosis. It is going to be at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And there's going to also be an audio download if you sign up for the class and a PDF. And Dr. Susan Smith-Jones has added an entire segment on multiple sclerosis and nutrition, because what I have found is in dealing with multiple sclerosis, the most powerful thing you can do is to treat your body what it needs nutritionally. So I hope you'll join me. You can actually sign on to the teleclass on my website, www.ritberger.com. Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful show. Light and love. Have a great week and enjoy. We're in the last throes of this big energy shift, and I'll see you next Wednesday on the Carol Ritberger Show.
You've been listening to the Carol Ritberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.